Hey friends, it's Bonus Friday, and for this Friday, I've decided to air a live that was recorded about a week or so ago in my Facebook group, We Are Stronger Together. And if you have not had a chance to check it out, I'm going to leave that link in the show notes. But that space I've created, this April will be a year for women of all backgrounds to come together and help each other grow in their faith, celebrate one another, encourage one another, and really just connect as women. And so I had special guest Noelle Rhodes on, who is a friendship researcher, a speaker, a podcast host of The Friending Show. And she really dug into the topic of friendships. Do we really need friends? How to heal from broken friendships? How to cultivate genuine friendships? She also told us about the three types of friends we need in our life right now. And then about a really fun holiday that's coming up called Galentine's Day. I know you all have heard of Valentine's Day, but she's going to tell us about a special day that we can celebrate with our girlfriends. So this is a special episode you don't want to miss, whether you are looking for ways to continue to grow the friendships that you already have, or you're looking for ways to connect with other women and build friendships. This is the episode for you. So grab your cup of coffee, your notebook, and let's jump in right now. Do you feel a tug or pull in your heart calling you to more? Do you feel like it is too late or that you're too broken to pursue the dream in your heart? Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Latasha, and welcome to the Overcome to Become podcast. Pull up a seat and join me each week for real talk, life-changing truths, and actionable takeaways. We are diving into any and everything that has been holding you back from becoming who you were meant to be in every area of your life. And so I know Valentine's Day comes with all these emotions. So I thought, you know what? Galentine's Day is something that, you know, whether you have a guy, don't have a guy, whatever's going on in that whole situationship, relationship thing, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because this is just about you and girlfriends. So wanted to bring you on because I also know that sometimes female friendships are just not easy to have or to cultivate and even do it at a genuine level. And so before we hop into all of that, because I see you as a friendship expert, you have a whole podcast and all those things. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you came about, you know, with your passion to really help women cultivate friendships.
It is a story. Which a lot of times the things that we find ourselves being passionate about are usually a problem first.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I found adult female friendship to always be complicated.
Yeah.
But what happened was we moved to Northern Ireland. We were missionaries there for 6 years. And we made really good friends, which you'd think would be a wonderful thing. We made really good friends. And then we had to move back to the States. So I was in my mid-30s at this time, and I just assumed I would just come home to all of my old friends, you know, and just pick up where we left off. But lots of them had moved on, either physically had moved away or just moved on. So when I came home, I sort of found myself pretty lonely. I was living in a new town. My kids were in a new school system. So we were coming in the middle of the school year and they were kind of in the middle of elementary. Mm-hmm. So all the moms already had their circle of friends. And I just didn't have like a single person I felt like I can go to the movies with.
Yeah.
And I remember this one specific day I was supposed to meet with a friend for coffee, like an old friend.
Yeah.
So excited. Did my hair, did my makeup, ready to go. Half hour before we leave. She texts, she can't come. And it was like for a legitimate reason.
Yeah.
It just broke my lonely heart. Like it was like, it was like that moment where you become undone by something that's kind of small.
Yeah.
And I just started weeping. In the middle of my bedroom, I was weeping. I was sobbing so loud. My husband ran up the stairs and was like, "Who died?" And I said, "No one died. I just don't have any friends."
Wow.
And he said to me, "That's not true. I'm your friend." And I said, "That's not the same.
It's not the same. Bless their hearts. It's not the same. Yeah.
You're fun, but not the same." So he kind of like backed out of the room slowly. And I just sort of crawled into my bed, pulled the duvet cover over my head, and did like the most spiritual thing I could do that moment. I picked up my phone and Googled, how do you make friends in your mid-30s? And that kind of started my journey of researching female friendship, because what I learned is that a lot of people find female friendship as an adult to be just as complicated or more complicated than when they were growing up. Yeah. And we just don't talk about it, you know? And it's sort of, it's actually kind of like one of these shameful things to be like, I don't have a lot of friends, or I'm finding friendship difficult, having problems there. So I just felt like, people need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And so a friend of mine encouraged me to start a podcast. And so I started it, and that's how Friending was born. And, you know, I speak sometimes at universities and different things about female friendship and loneliness. And it's been a real joy and a privilege to do that, because I just see people feel a little bit more free knowing that they're not the only ones. So
So why do you think it is so difficult to talk about friendships? Is it because it's awkward? Is it because it's something people assume you should just know how to cultivate friendships? It's, you know, why do we not talk about it?
I think a big reason why we don't talk about it is because we believe this friendship fantasy is what I call it. You know, a lot of us grew up watching TV and TV shows will highlight, you know, friendship circles. And we think, oh, when I grow up, my friendships are going to look like these TV shows. These, you know, like a classic one is the TV show Friends. A lot of people know that show.
Yeah.
And it's, and if, you know, if you actually look into their friendships, they're not healthy. They don't have boundaries, but you're growing up or you're watching it and you're thinking, oh, well, when I get older, I'm going to be in the same season of life as all my adult friends. We're going to live close to each other. We're going to show up to everything for each other. We're going to be able to hang out and do all the holidays, all the vacations. And that's just not reality. It's not reality.
Yeah.
And so when that doesn't happen, we go, oh, something must be wrong with me. Something is wrong with me, because I can't have this friendship that really only exists on television.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what it is. We think that it's the problems with us. And a lot of times it's just expectation.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point. I think it's some of the, would you think too, I remember being in school and, you know, BFF, you know, writing that all over the place. We're going to be friends forever, you know, even after high school. I'm thinking now of how many friendships that I have from high school.
Yeah.
I mean, and let alone elementary, middle school, all those others. And you're right. Some of it is expectations. Things do change. People get married. People move away because of jobs, all of those different things like that. And we grow and we change.
Yeah.
We grow, we change, we evolve as we should. And do you believe sometimes we can grow out of friendships?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So I think that it really has to do with, you know, knowing what season of life you're in and knowing the kinds of friends you need right now. And I would never, ever recommend ghosting people because you don't need them anymore. But there are some friends you go, okay, when I'm with them, my bad habits are coming, are hard to say no to, or they're toxic, or, and you just need to dial down that level of intimacy and just be like, we're not going to be as close because who is in your circle will impact your life. And that's really important to recognize that.
And I think we think when we become adults, and I know you've talked to a lot of people about friendships, and I found that this is a common misconception that you think that as adults, you can't fall into peer pressure. That's only for teenagers. That's only for young kids. You know, we tell our kids all the time that you are who you hang around.
Yeah.
You will become, if you're the smartest one in the group, right? If you are the wisest one in the group, you know, there's a problem. Yeah. And so what is it as we, you know, become older and we're trying to cultivate, what are some things that hinder us from really cultivating, not just the surface level? So, you know, in Facebook, I think we've misused that term. Oh, I don't think we have, right? We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're friends on Instagram.
Everybody's my friend. And everything has gotten kind of surface. We can talk about the weather. Yeah. You know, we can talk about maybe our kids a little bit, this or that. But that's pretty much where it stops right there. We have this automatic wall that comes up that says you can only go so far. What is that wall? What keeps us from allowing people in?
I think it's a couple of things. One is we're busy. We're so busy. And time is the currency of trust. Mm-hmm. And trust is the door that's going to open to vulnerability. And vulnerability leads to intimacy. So when you're not really spending consistent real time with people, and I think it has a lot to do with, I think being face to face is very important, and that's very hard to do right now.
It is.
But I do think you can put an image up online that is harder to hide in person. But I think what we do is we're so busy, we can't consistently connect. And so when we do connect, we can only go so far because we don't really have that trust to know, oh, I can trust you with this. And so that's why it's so important that you know, are putting in regular time in your friendships, which is why you might not need to have 25 friends. You might need to pare that down a little bit and invest in a couple key friendships, because those friendships will grow. The more time you put in, the more currency of trust will happen. People know you. They know what you're about. They'll trust you. They'll become vulnerable. And then when there's that vulnerability, there's a closer connection. But, you know, this is why when you were in kindergarten and I was in kindergarten, it was easy to become best friends with Susie, who sat next to us every day.
Right? That's true.
She liked eating glue. I liked eating glue. And so we became friends because every day we ate glue. So I think that that's the thing. Like, we don't do that now. We think, well, good thing we don't eat glue anymore.
Good thing we don't eat glue.
We're not really always showing up in each other's lives on a regular basis. And in work we did. And you'll find that your work friends, you're kind of like, they kind of know stuff about you that maybe your friends don't know.
That's true.
Right now, we're living in these times where we're not seeing each other face to face. I think it's even more so there's a feeling of isolation because there's no regular connection.
So then, you know, when we think about when you were saying that as well, busyness, no regular connection. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, those of us who have been hurt maybe in friendships. Right.
I was going to say the other thing is being burned. The pain is real. And I think what's difficult is when there's been a breakup or a betrayal, right?
It's a real
pain that you have to process and heal from. Like the problem is that as a society, again, we would never be like, oh, you had a friendship breakup, go see a counselor. Now, if you got divorced or if you broke up with a longtime partner, or if you lost a family member, everyone would be like, go see someone, go talk to someone, get healing for that. But friendship, we're very weird about it. And it gets funky because there could be mutual friends connected. And you don't want to risk losing those. It's so complicated. So I think that we do need to spend a little bit of time evaluating the areas of which we've been hurt by friends. And is this connected to how I receive current friends? It's a powerful thing. It's a hard thing to do, but I do think it's worth healing some of those friendship wounds, because what happens is you'll get into a situation with a new friend and something will remind you, right? You'll just be like, ooh, that reminds me of that. Oh, no, never mind. And then you withdraw. You stop putting the time in. That friendship doesn't grow. And the other person on their side is going, well, what happened? Like, I thought we were friends.
What did I do?
And you're just trying to protect yourself. And so it's, you know, it's human nature. It's something that we all do. But I think we don't talk about it enough. And we don't like validate. Like, yeah, you were hurt by that person. They wronged you. And you need to look into that and get healing in perspective, because what happens is you put that on all the other friends in your life, and they're paying for something that somebody else did. And not only are you keeping yourself from benefiting from a friendship, but you're also keeping these new friends from benefiting you as a friend because you have things to offer.
Yeah.
So it's so important to deal with that. It's hard. It's hard.
Yes. What are some of the signs? Because I had someone ask that in the group. What are some of the signs that maybe it is time to go in a different direction? You've been in this friendship. Yeah. And, you know, it's not really serving you. You're feeling kind of mixed feelings about it. Yeah. Maybe you even have to shrink back when you come around that person, right? For me, I feel like the number one thing is if something great happens in my life and I share it with you and there's no celebration or I'm afraid to share something with you because I feel like you might be jealous of me or you might judge me. To me, those are signs. Those are kind of warning signs. What are some other warning signs that are there as far as maybe a friendship is on its last leg?
Yeah, there's so many, but I would say some key ones is if you are absolutely dreading spending time with this person because they manipulate you and you kind of know that they do, and manipulation comes in all kinds of forms. So one is it like they make you feel guilty for not being enough, like, You don't ever call me. We don't hang out enough. We don't. Mm. And you just are kind of always feeling like it's not enough for this person. Mm. That's a form of manipulation. And I would say, you know, first, let me just say this. We are called to love everybody. We're not necessarily called to be best friends of everybody. And so that's kind of something that we need to kind of get into play here. Mm-hmm. But sometimes friends will also do things where they will need to make you feel smaller than them. Mm. So like you have a great thing that you want to share, you know, you got this cool opportunity to speak somewhere and they're like, oh yeah, why I'm doing this. Or I spoke,
the one-up
I
game. Spoke there
before. Yeah.
Like, yes.
These are people you don't need to tie yourself to. You can love them, kind to them, remember them. If something's going on in their life and you feel prompted to reach out and pray for them, great. But you don't need to bind yourself to them in friendship. And so sometimes you just do have to take a step back. I think anybody who's distracting you from the call of God on your life,
amen,
with their drama, with their control, you got to just step back.
Yeah.
I will say this though. And someone asked this question, I thought was good. Like, how do you know when it's them? How do you know that they're just having a problem that they need you to walk with them? And how do you know when it's a pattern?
Oh, I like that. Say
you got to go, okay, does this person always have this going on? Because there are times where our friends have, you know, their
seasons.
Their parent is aging and they're sick and they're taking care of them. They're stressed out. Their marriage is going through something. Their kid is going through something. They lost their job. Yeah. Like, we don't just drop people because they're having tough days.
Yeah.
If this person constantly puts you in the position of the caretaker and is never giving, that's a pattern.
Yeah.
And so they are being used to distract you from the call of God in your life. You do need to go, okay, this is toxic.
Mm.
This is not the friendship that I'm supposed to be having right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had to do that. I've had to be like, this is not for now. Maybe it was 5 years ago. Maybe it will change in a couple of years. But for right now, I need to put some boundaries in this friendship. And it takes a great deal of maturity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's important, and I think it's something you have to discern and pray about and go, okay, is this a problem for the moment or just a pattern in our friendship? If it's a pattern, you're not going to become what you need to become if you're being controlled by another human being.
Exactly. 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 And then as you were saying, I thought, you know, and sometimes maybe it is us, kind of going back to what you said. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's our tainted glasses that we're looking through because we have been hurt. And that's why, you know, and maybe it's, we need to take a step back and say, you know, Lord, heal my heart because I'm hurting other people, damaging other people. I'm the one controlling other people, manipulating other people, feeling like things always have to be my way. And I think it's little, let me know if you agree, it's little tiny signs I think God will allow you to see where, you know, the certain person, your friend calls you on the phone and they get every word in, and then you try to say what your day and, oh, well, gotta go, you know, oh, it's been nice talking. it's been nice talking to you. You know, that's about it. You know, when there's just no, you're always the one calling to ask, to hang out, to, you know, to really just spend time together, you know, and it becomes very lopsided. Would you agree? One-sided and draining to be in those types of friendships and not serving you at all or helping you be who, like you said, God, who God has called you to be.
Yeah.
And so let's go back a little bit to where you had said, so you're experiencing these friendships and you've been hurt and wounded and you're carrying around this wound in your heart. And what would you recommend for that person that's saying, you know what, maybe I'm the one that's hurt and I'm the one who's maybe not the really good friend right now because I have been hurt. What are some steps that that person you would recommend that they take to begin the healing process in their own heart? Hurt people hurt people. One of my favorite sayings, right? So if you've been hurt, you can't give what you don't have. What are some steps they can start taking to heal their heart and be able to open it back up for friendship, genuine friendship?
Yeah. Great question. I'm gonna be super practical. Mm-hmm. If you recognize this, the first thing I would do is get a journal, get a pen, and just journal without any hesitation where you think this began and write a letter to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. And then just let the pen just go and just journal it out and then ask the Lord to show you where he was in all this pain that you, that you experienced. And then just ask him, like, what's the next step? Because I'm going to ask you, it's different for every person.
Yeah.
So maybe for you, you might need some closure. You might be making a phone call or, you know, you might be going, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about this thing that happened 10 years ago. Or it may not be that at all. It may be you just learning, you might let it go. You, the Lord might tell you to just to maybe because this person isn't safe to connect again with. It's so very much dependent on the circumstance. Mm-hmm. But I will say, ask the Lord, what is the next practical step that I need to do? Is it contact this person that hurt me? Is it literally laying this at your feet and having you actively help me forgive them? Is it sharing this with a friend? Saying, hey, you know, I'm feeling, I know I struggle in this area in friendship, and I believe it's because of this wound. Will you pray for me? And just ask the Lord, what is the next step? And then along the way, just keep asking, what's the next step? What's the next step?
What's the next step?
I think you'll know when you're kind of in a place of healing because you'll be able to talk about it. You'll be able to just be like, yeah, this is something I struggle with. I keep people at distance because of this thing happening, but God is teaching me that I can trust him. And part of that is trusting him to care for me, even if I do get hurt again. So I would start with just journaling a letter to the Lord. And I always say, write it out because I think there's a lot of healing when you get the pen to the paper.
Love it.
You know, if you got to burn it afterwards, burn it afterwards. Let it just flow and don't worry about what you're saying to him. You know, the scriptures say that even in our groanings, Jesus is interceding on our behalf. So it doesn't need to make perfect sense.
No.
You know, your handwriting doesn't need to even be, you know, easy to read. Just pour your heart out about it and then say, where were you? Show me where you were. And then show me what you want me to do next.
Yeah.
And then obey.
Amen.
Just obey.
Yes, yes, yes. So I love that. I'm a huge believer in journaling. It has so much. Cheap little Dollar Tree notebook, ladies.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be, I mean, it can be the fancy ones. You know, I know there's some people who collect them and all of that. And I love that too. But it can be a cheap little Dollar Tree or even digital or even on your phone in an app. But it is, you're right. It's so freeing to get all of those things out and onto paper and then asking God for the next step. I love that. So for the one that's listening and saying, you know what? I'm a little bit older now. I've tried all of that. I'm good by myself. You know, I don't need friendships. I don't really need friendship. They're too much work. And I don't have time for all of that. Speak to that person for a moment and just, you know, speak to their heart about why friendship is so crucial, why God wants us to have friends.
Well, first of all, we're designed to connect in community. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Genesis, we're created in God's image. Yeah. And he said, let us make man in our image. Those are plural nouns, right? It's a plural pronoun, our, us. So we're created in the image of God, and God exists in eternal community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's why we do well when we're connecting with other people. I mean, you can look at the science. Just Google, what does the Mayo Clinic say about friendship? And you're going to get tons of stats. One is... One very famous stat is that women who are diagnosed with breast cancer have a better chance of survival and quicker recovery depending upon their friendship support group. And I can tell you that I have seen this personally with friends. Women who have strong friendship support groups, who were diagnosed with breast cancer, they do very well. They do. And so there's that, like, physically affects us, mentally, emotionally, spiritually affects us. But the biggest thing I would say to everybody, especially in this group, is that growth cannot happen in isolation. You need people. If you want to change, if you want to change, if you want to overcome some things that you've been trying to change in your life, you need people, because that's how God set the whole thing up, you know?
Yes.
And we can't be like, I mean, even Jesus had friends.
Yes. Jesus had friends. Even Jesus. I was thinking that was like one of the first things he did was he went and found some friends. He's like, hey, come follow me.
He called them his friends.
Yes.
And he had 12 friends, and he had 3 close friends in that group.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for us to be like, I don't need friends, it's like, well, Jesus needs friends. And
Jesus.
He invited them in to accomplish alongside of him his great mission. You know what I mean? They didn't go to the cross with him. In fact, they totally abandoned him in that time. But he let them be a part of his ministry, and that's part of us. We walk out our great calls alongside of each other, and we witness each other being used by God, being changed by God. And I'm telling you, when the good times are good, they're no good if you got nobody to celebrate them with.
Oh, amen to that.
And when they're bad, you need people that are gonna let you fall into their arms and fall apart. And that's how we are created. And so I know, and I've spoken about this before, but there's like these memes out there, you know, on Instagram. They're like, you know, leave the haters. You don't need anybody. Or it's like things kind of like, you are all you need.
Yeah. Me against the world kind of. Yeah.
It's not true. You actually do need people. You need good people. You need your people. And that might take time, but when you find them, it's like a treasure. It's precious. And that's why when you lose them, it's sad.
Yeah.
So I just speak to the woman who's just kind of like over it, done. I've been there. I get you.
Yeah.
But if you're in this group, you're here because you want to overcome to become. So you can't do that alone.
I heard someone say one time, you cannot heal in isolation alone. There's no such thing as healing alone. You have to open up and be vulnerable. And I know that word vulnerable makes, you know, somebody hearing it, their armpits sweat, right? Like the hair is raising on the back of their neck as we speak, thinking about being vulnerable and letting people all the way in. But that is where, you know, the healing takes place right there. Yeah. You need those friendships. Like, our husbands are great, but I remember my husband, it's probably about 2-3 years ago that, you know, I had some, you know, surface level friendships here, there, you know, life gets busy. Job was like super busy, a lot of things going on. And I was working from home, and he was just like, you know, every time he would come home, I'd be like, oh, hey, you know, and soon he's just like, you know, you need some friends, you know, you need some friends. I'm not, no offense. I'm here if you want to talk, but you need some friends, right? And our husbands, boyfriends, I mean, they're there, but they will never be able to fill, and let me know if you agree with this, a female friendship gap. Like, they will never, I know that now, right? I know God has blessed me, and I prayed. I know exactly what you mean. I prayed that God send me some friends that I can be myself and let it all hang out, and they can kick me in the butt when needed. Right? Like,
I think you need three types of friends. I think you need the friend that's the light at the end of the tunnel. So they've been where you want to go. Okay.
Oh, and they're calling, that's good.
Saying, the light's down here. Come listen to my voice. Follow me here. Then you need the friend who's, you know, the fire under your butt. And they're going to not let you get away. Like, if you say you're chasing a dream, they're like, how about that dream? You chasing it? Like, they're kind of... They're like cheering for you, but it's, you know, kind of a strong cheering from the sidelines. And then you need the friends who I call the candles in the dark. And they stand with you in the dark times and they just hold up a candle of hope and they're just in it with you. You need those three types of women in your life. The light in the tunnel. So they're kind of like a mentor, someone who could speak into certain areas of your life. You need the fire on your butt. Those are the people who are kind of like your peers, but they're sort of, you know, they're cheering you on. They're challenging you. They're not letting you give up. Mm-hmm. And the last is the candles in the dark, who are standing with you in the dark times, and they're not going to let you go, and they're not going to let you be alone. Those are the three types of friends. If you have one of each right now, you're very blessed. You have one or two or whatever each, then just you keep looking for that person.
Yeah.
But you need female friends because only females understand what it's like to be female.
Amen.
I just had to say it, you know?
Say it. It's the truth. Yeah.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. So we have a special day coming up. Galentine's Day, February 13th, which is about 9-ish days away. So tell us a little about, you have a whole podcast episode, which I loved. I thought it was so good, dedicated to Galentine's Day. Tell us a little bit about Galentine's Day.
Well, Galentine's Day, I think, came from a TV show called Parks and Recreation.
Oh, hilarious.
It's one of my favorite shows. The main character, Leslie Knope, would throw Galentine's Day for her female friends, and she would take them to a restaurant and buy them gifts and have little speeches. And they did it several times throughout the show, so it became a thing. And now Target, has stuff for Galentine's Day.
Yes.
I think Eventbrite has, tons of invites you can do. So traditionally, you're supposed to spend it with your friends that are female. And obviously, right now, people are not doing parties, so it's a little bit challenging. Mm-hmm. So some of my traditions, I would have had friends over, and I've done it different ways. But last year, right before everything closed down, Galentine's hit, and I invited just a few local friends to my house. And I made them a meal. They brought the dessert. And then I just asked them to share how one friend in their life, so it could be any time of their life, bless them or really help them. And it was pretty powerful. I mean, I wasn't expecting people to get emotional, but people were just sharing this one friend was with me when my dad was dying in the hospital and, you know, took care of things for me. And I never forgot that. And it was just a really great night of just celebrating the power of female friendship. And so I like that. But this year, obviously, I'm not doing any kind of in-person gathering, which is kind of a bummer. But there's lots of different things you could do. You can do Zoom. People do Zoom. And my suggestion with that is you probably want to keep that circle kind of small and somewhat connected. Because it's one thing to be invited to a place where you don't know anybody. It's even worse when you get invited to somewhere on Zoom where you only know the host.
Yes. Awkward.
It's kind of hard to kind of feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I just say keep it small. Other great ideas is just leaving little care packages or sending little care packages where one of my friends, you might know her. Her name is Kimberly Amici. She has a podcast. And she was telling me she's going to she's going to give everybody like brunch, in a box, and everyone can open it up and eat it together during Zoom. She's very good at this stuff. I'm kind of much more I like simple. Simple's my way.
Yeah.
So there's so many different things you can do. I know people are sending postcards or galentines.
Yeah.
Some are sending little gift cards. But the point I think of galentines is just setting aside time. And maybe even a little money, if you could do it, to just say, you're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful. This is how my life is better because you're my friend.
Yeah.
And that's it. So it doesn't, I mean, I like a party, but it doesn't need to be a party. It really, the point of it is just that taking the time to communicate that. And I think if you can make it personal, writing it out on a card, you know, and, or even dropping flowers off at a friend's house. I mean, that stuff seems silly, but actually it really speaks volumes. I mean, if someone just dropped me off some flowers and said, this is just because you're my friend, I'd be like, oh, thank you. You know?
I know. Yeah.
Because
little things.
Friendship is taken for granted all the time.
Yes.
So it's just saying, I'm not going to take you for granted. That's really the point of Galentine's Day.
I think now more than ever, it just matters that we do those little things because people want to know that they matter, even though we can't see them and be with them and hug them and all of that, especially now we can send those things of thanks. So last words to the women out there that are listening, and then let them know how they can connect with you, connect with your podcast.
My last words is, go be the friend that you wish you had. Start there.
And know
that there's a lot of lonely women out there. So there's plenty of people to be friends with.
And
look, you're in a group right now. You can be friends with some of these people. So you are going to find your people. So that's why I want to just encourage that. And if you want to find the podcast is called Friending, and it's on all the places that you listen to podcasts. And our handle on Instagram is Friending Show, and my handle on Instagram is Your Friend Noel. And just check out Friending and listen to it. You know, I just want to encourage women, if they are struggling with friendship, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. We all do at some point. So give yourself some grace and just don't stay lonely. You don't have to.
And today, tomorrow is a new day. Tonight is a new night. You know, start that journal writing tonight that Noel talked about. Spread your heart out there on that notebook, on that paper, and pray about it. I think we pray about a lot. I made a post about that the other day. You know, God pressed on my heart. I think I was reading Matthew where he talks about, you know, God cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground. Our hairs are numbered, right? And so I think we pray to God for world peace. We pray to God for all the big things, right? Heal this and do that, God. And this person's hurting over there. But we think God doesn't care about the little things. And we think that the fact that we're lonely and we don't have girlfriends, why would God care about that? But he cares. Like you said, he cares. He cares. And that you're aching and going to bed saying, I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm going through this situation. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a hard time on the job. Maybe I'm just having some inner feelings that I don't know who to share those things with because I'm scared I might be judged. God cares about those things. And he wants to know them and he wants to hear them. And so tonight, ladies, you can listen to the podcast, Friending Show, and let this be the first day of your new journey of friendships. And we want to hear about it, right? No, if God is opening up doors and blessing you with friends and healing your heart, we want to hear about that and we want to celebrate with you. So connect with both of us, reach out, let us know how your journey is going. And if you're in friendships right now, continue to cultivate those. Know that you're blessed and continue to show yourself friendly to others.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today. Out of all the thousands of podcasts out there, you chose to spend your time with me, and I so appreciate it. If you have enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes in the Overcome to Become podcast, friends, could you do me a huge favor? Could you hop into Apple Podcasts and complete a rating and review? This will help this message of hope to get out to many other women who need to hear it. Thanks again. See you next week.